Rosh Hashanah Kadosh Hazeh. As we're getting closer and closer, I feel that sense of Kasha Lai Predaschem. That we're getting to the end of the Aleph Beis. And as we said it all along, we really could spend forever on just one letter. But we're up to Os Kuf, which means that we're getting very, very close. And as we've mentioned a few times in different Shirim, each of the letters of the Aleph Beis is contained within each of the letters, that each letter has a Tzad HaTov, and like any Koach in the world, so Hashem doesn't create bad in the world, but we have the ability to use kochos that Hashem is putting into the world against, that's part of the mystery, if you will, of free choice, that we can take kochos that Hashem puts into the world and we can use those for more nefarious, more negative purposes. When it comes to the Os Kuf though, so the difficulty with the letter Kuf, the Tzad Ha Ra, if you could say such a thing, Shabo, is more blatant than the letters before. Going back to the Gemara that we have studied so many times together, the Gemara says, Amri le Rabbanan Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Asudar deki ha'idna lebe midrasha v'amru milad afilu b'mei Yoshua ben Nun lo itmar kavatayu. Children come to the Beis Medrash. We children who come every Monday night to the Beis Medrash to try to hear things about the letters of the Aleph Beis that haven't been said since the days of Yoshua ben Nun. And to look at something which on the surface is so simple and something that we all learned close to 20 years ago, some of us even more, and yet to look at it completely fresh like children, like we said all the way in the beginning. And the children taught Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina, Gimel Dalet, Gomel Dalim. And when you arrive at the Os Kuf, so on the surface, you come to the letter Kuf, and the Gemara says very clearly, Kuf, Kadosh. Kuf is Kadosh. And what more could you want from a letter? Kuf is Kadosh. Yet, in the Zohar HaKadosh, when the Os Kuf comes to try its hand at being the letter of creation, a gift which ultimately was given to the letter Beis. So the Os Kuf was rejected because it's associated with the force of Sheker in the world. And as the Gemara in Shabbos even alludes to just about one line later, Umay Taima Shikra Achta Karaya, why do the letters of Sheker, Shin, Kuf, and Resh all stand on one leg, as opposed to the letters of Emes, which are more broad-based. The Aleph has two strong legs, and the Mem has a long base along the bottom, which is strong and tough. Why is Sheker standing only on one leg? And Emes is Malbin Levunya, and Emes is standing strong. So the Gemara says, Kushta Kai Shikra Lo Kai. Because truth stands, but Sheker does not. And so almost in a blatant way, the Gemara is highlighting for us that when it comes to the earlier letters, of course, there's a Koach HaTov, and that Koach HaTov can be co-opted for evil. Like anything in the world, as Shlomo HaMelech said, Zeh l'umas zeh asa Elokim, Hashem created in this world kochos that have atzad halotov. Zeh l'umas zeh asa Elokim. Hashem created tov, created ra, created or, he created choshech. And yet when it comes to the Os Kuf, and we'll see Resh and Shin as well, there's something more dangerous about those letters. The Arizal writes, really stemming from earlier Kabbalistic sources, from the Zohar itself, that the Os Kuf, which is the only letter, aside from the Sofit, which descend beneath the line, on a Sefer Torah, there's something called Sirtut. Every line, if you look very, very carefully, you'll see there's a little, almost invisible line, which acts as a geder, as a border, to tell us where the letter begins and where the letter ends, on top and on bottom. And the only letter of the Aleph Beis which descends below the line, which goes underneath that sirtut, which breaks out of its borders, but going down, with the exception of the sofits, which are a whole different thing, is the Os Kuf. And the Arizal hinted at this when he said that the Kuf is Ragleha Yardos Maves, like it says in Mishlei. Ragleha, her feet, Yardos Maves, are descending into death. And so the letter Kuf appears to be a complex letter. Kuf is Kadosh, and Kuf is Ragleha Yardos Maves. Kuf is Shikra, is Sheker. So let's try to understand. One of the most powerful human natural urges, which we've spoken about before, even in this particular chabura on the Aleph Beis, I believe it was on the Os Nun, is the urge, is that desire, is that ratzon that a person has to fit into a crowd. That a person, Baruch Hashem, hopefully if they're healthy, wants to feel accepted, wants to feel part of a group. And oftentimes tends towards the midah of mimicking. What some might refer to as, I believe there's an English expression, monkey see, monkey do. Which is, of course, the Os Kuf. Kuf is the Os Yos Kuf, which means to copy, to imitate. I saw in a sefer, although it's hard to know whether he was being serious or not, that the English word copy comes from the word kof. To copy, it doesn't. I looked it up. It comes from the Latin word copia, which means abundance. But copy also, C-O-P, is kof. The ratzon to copy, the urge to mimic other people. When Rav Soloveitchik was younger, Rav Schechter recounts in his Sefer Mipnine Harav, he writes, Rabbeinu tamid haya sakran. Rav Soloveitchik was always very curious. Ubi alduso kodem gil ha bar mitzvah shalo, before he was even bar mitzvah, there was a certain event that happened, Sha'avar Adam Gadol Ma'od Derech Irasa. There was a certain tzaddik who passed through the town where Soloveitchik was being raised. V'shahab Beis Aviv Zman Man. He was a guest in his father, in Soloveitchik's father's house for a time. V'alohu Medakdek Ma'od Mebitoi Kol Teva V'teva Shebekriyas Shema. And this tzaddik was with a certain type of hislavos when he was saying Kriyat Shema, that he was so medakdek on every letter, that he would draw out the words with a certain way, and he would repeat the words until he was positive that he said it absolutely the way that he wanted to. Uki yalad katan tafas rabbeinu sheyesh b'zeh mishamidas chasidas lenoikim. And Rav Soloveitchik, in his youthful innocence, and in his curiosity in seeing this strange way of saying Shema, started adopting this practice of closing his eyes and, you know, kind of parroting or monkeying this tzaddik's movements. V'hitchil afu l'daktik b'zeh b'shas amiraso es ha-shma. K'shehirgish aviv ha-gon Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and when his father, ha-gon Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, heard and saw that his son was doing this, nigash alav v'satra al-achyav. He gave him a little patch. V'amr lo b'yiddish, and he said to him in Yiddish, b'lashon shel tochacha, as a rebuke, mach nisht Nech Pliny's shtick. Don't do other people's shtick. Don't be a monkey. Don't be a kof. Being unauthentic, being a person who just copies other people, is a very dangerous habit. even when you're copying a tzaddik. And even when you're copying a tzaddik to do something good. Just last week in the parsha we read, Achar Dvar Ma'ila Hayad Dvar Hashem Al Avram B'mechsel Imor. Hashem appears to Avram in a dream and says to him, Al Tira Avram Anuchim Agin L'chaschar Chahar B'mo. Don't be afraid that you fought against the four kings and the five kings. Don't be afraid that they're going to come attack you. Don't be afraid that the four kings will try to seek revenge or that others will come to seek revenge. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to give you everything. And Avram says back to Hashem, V'yomar Avram al Hashem, Elokim, mati ten li v'anochi holich ariru ben meshek besi hu de mesek Eliezer. Hashem, what can you possibly give me? Everything good in the world that you could possibly give me is worth nothing because what do I have in my house except for the mesek Eliezer? I don't have my own children. And as Rashi points out, de mesek Eliezer probably in pshat means Eliezer from Damascus. But on a deeper level from Chazal, from the Gemara, Ube Gemara Shalanu Darshu Notrakon Dole Umashka Mitorasa Sharabulachir. That Eliezer was the one who was Demesek Eliezer. He was Dole Umashke. It's a Notrakon, it's a kind of acronym for Dole Umashka Mitorasa Sharabulachir. He would take the Torah of his Rebbe in a pail and then dish it out to other people. And the Ma'or of Hashemesh, Rav Klonimus Kalman Epstein, the great-great-grandfather of the Pizetzin Rebbe, asks the obvious question. This is Avram Avinu complaining to Hashem about why he's not satisfied with Eliezer. Wouldn't it make more sense? In the pshat, you can almost understand it. He's saying, Eliezer's from Damascus. He's not one of my people. He doesn't understand me. He doesn't understand the mission. But this drasha of Chazal is muzar ma'od, very strange. If you're trying to make a case for why you're not satisfied with what you have, you don't start highlighting the positive traits of that which you already have. And the Mor of Hashemesh, one of the great Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, writes that Avram wasn't being Mishabeach Eliezer. He was complaining. He was saying, this Eliezer is just a kof. He's a kof, Raglea Yardos Maves. This cannot amount to anything because Eliezer is just copying what I do. As the Mor of Hashemesh writes in the bold italics, Shetzarech leida uladiel ivnei adam ha-mechaber mes'atzman l'tzadikim. That people have to know when they're connected to great people, Shelo yilmedu es'atzman lasos k'tinu osehem v'hanag osehem. That a person can't just copy and imitate the movements, the hand movements, and the hanhagos of great people. K'mitzvos anasher milumada. It's something that takes years. When you're by a person for a lot of years and you begin to incorporate their way of speaking and their way of talking, when you're giving a shir, the way that you move your hand and the way... So that's a different thing altogether. That's not mitzvos anasher milumada. That's not just going through the motions. That's a person who's thoroughly inculcated a derech and makes it their own in a certain way, uses a different way of expressing themselves, a different way of walking, a different way of eating, but with some mirror of the tzaddik that they were connected to. Avraham Avinu is not satisfied with Eliezer because he's just dole umashke. He doesn't make it his own. He just takes the Torah of Avraham Avinu and he just pours it out right away. He never keeps it inside himself. He doesn't allow it to become one with himself before he teaches it to other people. Not that there's anything wrong with learning from someone. Adrabba. A person has to make for themselves a Rebbe. Asei l'charav. But asei l'charav is an avoda. Asei l'charav. You have to do it. You have to make yourself a Rebbe. that takes hard work. And it's dangerous to just imitate and copy and be a kof, even when you're dealing with great people. Of course, this is redeemed by Yitzchak. Yitzchak is not a kof. It's not really our letter for now, but I couldn't pass it up. That Rav Dessler points out that when Yitzchak is born, what Avram was waiting for the whole time, someone who wouldn't just be an imitator, who wouldn't suffer from the danger of just being an imitator. So Yitzchak, of course, gets married, trying to have children. Yitzchak and Rivka, not successful. Until finally, Ve'atar Yitzchak la'Hashem lenochach ishto ki akarahi, Ve'atar lo Hashem v'atar Rivka ishto. Yitzchak and Rivka are davening in different corners. He's davening opposite his wife, Rashi says. They're both in different corners. Ve'atar lo Hashem, and Hashem answered Yitzchak. Ve'atar lo Hashem. It doesn't say Ve'atar lahem. Hashem only answers Yitzchak and his tefillah. And Rashi writes, Vayater lo, why does it say only him? Lo v'lo la. Hashem answered him and not her, she'ein doma tefillas tzadik ben tzadik letefillas tzadik ben rasha, lefikach lo v'lo la. There was nothing wrong with Rivka. Rivka was tzadikas. But she was a tzadikas, the daughter of a rasha, and Yitzchak was a tzadik ben tzadik, and therefore he was given preference, his tefillah was answered. And so Rav Dessler asks in Michtav Melio, does that really make sense? I mean, think about it. Rivka grew up in the house of rasha, she had to come by herself to pave her own path. Isn't that so much more laudable? Isn't that much harder than growing up in the lap, on the lap of Avram Avinu, and being told from day one how to act and how to be an Eved Hashem? So Rav Dessler writes, V'hinei ein safek shemidoseim shal ha'avos b'yadeim hayu v'yachu lifol imahem kiretzonam. If we believe and we know that the Avos were not forced to act the way that they were acting, they had their midos in their hands, in other words, they were bailing over all of their midos, why did Yitzchak Avinu not choose to follow the derech of Avram? Kvar nizbar mashanamr chazal tfilas Yitzchak v'rivka. L'chor kasha adrav, as we just said. Gedol yoser zuchos ben harasha, how hard it would be for a person who grows up in the house of Russia to choose a different path, to walk away from everything. The godless of Yitzchak, the godless of the tzaddik ben tzaddik, is that even though it's so easy for the tzaddik ben tzaddik to just copy exactly what his father does, to just imitate exactly as his father does, that Yitzchak was able to forge a new path for himself, that he was able to completely make something his own, means that the avoda of Yitzchak, the maila of Yitzchak in a certain way, is greater even than Rivka, the tzadikas bas rasha. And if it's dangerous to copy other people, as we learn from Yitzchak and we learn from Avram's complaint about Eliezer, so then the negative aspect of kuf, which is true about copying other people, could even in a small way be true, and give me a moment to explain this, could even be true a little bit about copying oneself. There's a well-known anecdote about the Satmarevi, the old title man, that he was once at a wedding, and by weddings, by the Jewish people, by weddings, sometimes there's such a thing called a badchan. A badchan is like a jester that comes and makes jokes to be misameach the chasan and kala. Sometimes they say gramin, they sing songs about the chasan and the kala. And this badchan came over to the Satmar Rebbe at a wedding of one of the chassidim and said, Rebbe, I want to ask your permission, if it would be okay. I'm hoping, you know, at the wedding, to a few different girsos. Some people say it was at a Purim tish. He was doing like a Purim spiel or something. But he said, I'm hoping at the wedding by the chasan and kala that to make them laugh, I was gonna try to imitate the Rebbe's Rosh Hashanah davening. You know, the Rebbe davened Rosh Hashanah, and apparently the Satmar Rebbe, I never heard his voice, but apparently he had like a little bit of a high voice. He davened very passionately, and he had like a little bit of a high voice. He said, "I'm going to imitate the Rebbe's movements and the Rebbe's." So the Rebbe said, "Yeah, for sure. Tovim Sameach Chasim Kala." Of course, he didn't have an ego. He was nothing. His own eyes. Sure, make another Jew happy, for sure. So in the middle of the wedding, after the first dance, you know, everyone sits down, the Chasen Kala sit down with their seat, and the Chasen makes a motzi, and the Barchan gets up, and everyone's waiting to see, you know, everyone's on the edge of their seat, and the Barchan starts doing this imitation of Rav Yehuda Teitelbaum, and he's davening with a high voice and the whole thing, he's doing the motions, and he's getting really into it, and everyone's kind of laughing, and the Satmar Rebbe's also laughing a little bit, and then all of a sudden, the Satmari's face totally changes and gets very serious. And the Satmari starts crying, and the Barchan notices, and everyone notices, and the Barchan, you know, he turns white, and he runs over to the Rebbe and says, "Rebbe, I'm so sorry, I asked permission, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend the Rebbe." And the Satmari says, "That's not why I'm crying, I'm not crying because you're making fun." He said, "I'm crying because you did such a good job imitating me, that it struck me as interesting. I was wondering, could it be that the rest of the year when I'm davening, I'm just imitating myself by Rosh Hashanah? That by Rosh Hashanah, really something happened. There was a psicha samayanos, the lev opened up and things were going in a very strong way. But the rest of the year, I'm just copying myself. I'm not really there." And when I thought about that, it gave me such a chalishas hadas, it gave me such a pain in my heart that I lost it. It wasn't you. It's not what it is. There's a friend of mine that I used to go to shul with, this Jew, when I still lived in America. I had the great privilege of giving a shir in Esh Kodesh when I was there, by Rav Moshe Weinberger's shul. And when I left, he took over and we were good friends. And he has a blog where he posts ideas, Torah ideas. He once posted something that, this is already going back a number of years, but the first time I saw it, I remembered it, and it's probably the sharpest line to date that he's ever written on his blog. Although he has some good ones. You can read along, source 10. "I took my 4-year-old son to daven on Friday morning. He sat very nicely the whole time, and at the end, he began wrapping the straps of my head tefillin around his arm and shuckling as if he was davening. This got me to thinking, which of the following phrases would be more correct? Look, he's pretending to daven just like me. Or, look, he's pretending to daven just like me." Meaning when we're davening, are we just pretending? Yeah, sometimes we daven for real. Sometimes we have a Rosh Hashanah, well, I mean, we never have a Rosh Hashanah like the Satmar Rebbe. But sometimes we have our equivalent of a Rosh Hashanah like the Satmar Rebbe. And the question is, the rest of the year, are we just pretending to daven? Will our children just pretend to daven like us? Will they just be little kufs? Because as harsh as it sounds, the notion of raglea yordos maves, maves means something is final. That's why the kuf mirrors all the other final letters. There's something final, there's something that can't be mamshech. After one of the tzadi sofit or a pei sofit or a mem sofit, you can't have another letter after that. And the danger of the kuf is that someone who mimics it doesn't go forward. You can't pass it on to your children. And as we'll explain in a minute, it's even deeper than that. What it means, it can't go forward. The kuf is even, it doesn't even have anything of its own. It's even copying the end letters, the sofits. This is what the Nefesh HaChaim, I didn't put it on the source sheet. This is what the Nefesh HaChaim describes in the third shahr of Nefesh HaChaim. It escapes me which now exactly which chapter within the third shahr. But he says that this is what it means when we find, even by the greatest tzaddikim, even by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we don't find it by Yitzchak. We find it by Avram and Yaakov and a few other tzaddikim, that Hashem will sometimes call out to a tzaddik and say, "Avraham, Avraham, Yaakov, Yaakov." We dafka don't find a double lashon leYitzchak. That's for another time. We find Yaakov, Yaakov, Avram, Avram. And then Rav Shechaim says that when it comes to those tzaddikim, when it comes to Avram and Yaakov, even as great as they were, there's a little line in between. It says Avram, psik, Avram. Yaakov, psik, Yaakov. In the actual Torah, you don't have a psik, but in the trup, we have a little break in between. It's only by Moshe Rabbeinu that you find Moshe Moshe with no break in between. Because Moshe, who became the Ish Elokim, was able to even transcend himself. Avram, psik Avram, the Nefesh Chaim explains from Rav Chaim Vital before him, means that Avraham was a little bit copying Avram. He wasn't totally in tune. He wasn't totally in tune, as we'll see in a moment, with his neshama in the Shorish, when it's connected to Hashem. Avram was a little bit copying Avram. It was only by Moshe Rabbeinu, and I know I didn't fully explain it, but I'll fully explain it in a moment, you'll understand what I'm saying, that Moshe was completely only just copying Hashem. The Moshe below and the Moshe above in his Shorish. You know that there are five parts of the neshama: the Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. Yechida means that place where the neshama connects completely with Hashem, where the sense of self is totally obliterated. It's Yachid, it's just Hashem. There's only one, there's no two, there's not Hashem in me. There's just Hashem in that place. And Moshe, there is no distinction between Moshe below and Moshe the Yechida. Whereas even the greatest tzaddikim, Avram and Yaakov, the Nefesh Chaim says, there was a little bit something that they were kind of copying themselves. They weren't completely copying Hashem. With that, we can begin to understand what is, and we'll move from the Sor Meira to the Aseh Tov. But as I mentioned before, and as we've mentioned before from the Maharal, that every letter has good, that even a letter that's part of the word Sheker, even a letter that's described by the Arizal as Ragleha Yardos Maves, that its feet descend into the depths of the Sheol, as the Pasuk continues. Even a letter like that is Kuf Kedusha. And when a Jew thinks about Kedusha, so our mind instantly wanders to that amazing pasuk, which tells us how to redeem the letter Kuf. The natural urge to mimic and to follow can be redeemed and elevated when a person realizes that the Kuf, the koach of that letter Kuf, to be a Kuf, is actually redeemed in our deeper urge, beneath the urge to copy other people or to copy tzaddikim or to even copy ourselves, is the urge of a person to copy the Ribbono Shel Olam. As Chazal say in Bava Basra, in the last source, Adam b'fnei Hashchina kekof b'fnei Adam. That a person before the Shechina, before Hashem, before the Divine Presence, is like a kof b'fnei Adam. That the kuf is redeemed, the kedusha of the kuf is redeemed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the act of being just a kuf b'fnei Hashchina, being a person who just mimics Mahu Afata Havei Domalo. And this, of course, is the yesod of the Sefer Tomer Devorah. Rav Moshe Cordovero wrote a beautiful sefer called Tomer Devorah, which is completely about this. He writes in source number 12, I'll just read a little bit of his lashon inside because it's so beautiful. Ha'adam roi shizdame lekono. It is fitting that a person imitate and be similar to his creator. So that his lower manifestation of himself and his upper manifestation of himself will be aligned. Tzelem udmus. She'ilu yidomu beguf alo bepu'ulos. If a person is similar to Hashem, just in the sense that he has a body with 248 limbs, which correspond to the 248 mitzvos, but he doesn't do the 248 mitzvos. Hariu machziv hatzura ve'amru alav tzura noe u'maisen ku'urayim. They'll say about him, what a beautiful tzura, but something doesn't add up. The ma'isim don't seem to add up. Shari ikra atzelam adumus ha'elyon hein pu'ulosav umal ma'yoel lo hayoso kitzura ha'elyona adumus tavnis ivarav u'pu'ulos lo yizdam elakona. How can it be that a person does not imitate the divine and allow that holy, that kadosh urge to copy? How can a person allow that urge not to come out in a holy way, and then by force, it's going to come out in an unholy way? So the Sfarim HaKadoshim point out that the letter Kuf, the whole letter Kuf, is completely hinting at the fact that we're supposed to be copying Hashem. That whereas the Kuf, Raglea Yardos Maves, the leg of the Kuf descends beneath the line into the abyss below, whereas the Kuf does descend into the Sheol Tachtas, the Kuf also, there's a discussion about this amongst the different Sfarim, exactly what are the letters that make up the Kuf. Some say it's a Resh and a Nun, some say a lot of different suggestions. But the Magen David, the Ravid that we quoted last week, I'm sorry, the Radbaz that we quoted last week, the Magen David, or David ben Zimra, points out that the Kuf is made up primarily of a Chaf and a Vav, which is 26, which is Hashem's holy name, that when you take the letter Kuf and you spell it out completely, Kuf, Vav, Pei, it's the same gematria as the word Makom, which is another one of the names of Hashem, that the inner letters of Kuf, the Pei and the Vav, are 86, which is Shem Elokim, which is Shem Elokim, wait, with the Hey, not with the Kuf. And that the Kuf is begging somebody, is begging the person, is begging the Jew to imitate Hashem, to be a Kuf b'fnei Hashchina. So just a few more minutes. Why is it that it's so dangerous to mimic other people and the Kuf becomes redeemed when we imitate Hashem? So it's very simple. If Kuf is Kedusha, so then our mind begins to wander towards that pasuk of Kedoshim Tihiyu Ki Kadosh Ani. It's Mamash the Kuf, right? Kedoshim Tihiyu, you should be holy. Why? Ki Kadosh Ani. Because I am holy. In other words, copy me. Kedoshim Tihiyu, you should be holy. Ki Kadosh Ani, because I, Hashem, am holy. So listen deep to this, because this is very... So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, on that pasuk, Kedoshim Tihiyu Ki Kadosh Ani, the Or HaChaim writes, what does it mean, Kedoshim Tihiyu Ki Kadosh Ani? Is that really a fair thing to say? You should be holy because I'm holy. Is it really possible that just because Hashem is something, so that should demand upon us that we should be something? So the Or HaChaim says like this. He says, when a person copies another person, even their Rebbe, even their parents, even themselves, in a moment when they're acting like a tzaddik. So what's the goal? The goal is to get back to that place. In the Satmar Rebbe's example, the goal during a regular mincha in the middle of the month of Tammuz is that at the end of the year, all the way at the end, it should be just as strong as that davening that he had in Rosh Hashanah. But that's flawed, and now we'll understand. That's the Kuf, which copies the end letters, the Sofit letters. It says, this is the end. You can't go further. Because the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that if you pay careful attention to the Pasuk, what does the Pasuk say? It says, Kedoshim Tihiyu, which is a lashon of asid. You shall be holy in the future. Not you shall be holy now. Tihiyu. You will be. You will be holy, ki kadoshani, because I am holy. So the Or HaChaim says, if I'm copying my Rebbe, if I'm copying my parents, if I'm copying myself, So then once I reach the level of my Rebbe, where I reach the level of my parents, or I reach that previous plateau, the height of where I had reached previously, and then I shut down. I've reached the end. Because I set my goal at X, and I reached it. But when a person's reference point for Kedusha is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when a person stands like a kof b'fnei Hashchina, when they say, my only desire is to imitate Hashem, so then it becomes a never-ending search. It's constantly, it's Kedoshim Tihiyu. You will be holy in the future, and you'll always be holier in the future because you're never satisfied with where you are. You don't reach the end of the word. You're not up to the sofit. It's no longer possible for ragleha yardos maves, for the feet to descend into the depths. Because our reference point for what we're aiming at is a kedusha which is never ending. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadoshanim. You will be holy, and then you'll be holy again, and then you'll be holy again. Because your goal for holiness will constantly be pushed forward. So the question that remains for us, what we're left with asking ourselves, and we have to end soon, but the question that we're left with, what we're left contemplating is, now we understand that there's a koach of kuf in the world. And that koach of kuf in the world means the koach that Hashem put into every single one of us, that we have a desire, we have an urge to copy and to mimic. And the choice which is left for us is, what do we want to copy? Do we want to copy other people that are around us? Sometimes. But when we copy people who are around us, is it really that we're copying them in the sense that we're trying to ultimately copy Hashem? We see some point of godliness in them, that they're copying Hashem, and then we in turn are copying them copying Hashem. Or do we just blindly accept the walking, eating, talking style of people around us without really thinking, is this imitating Hashem? Is this the way that Hashem does and would do chesed? Because I saw somebody else do chesed in an abrupt way and just, you know, throw a coin into a cup. Is that the way that I choose to do chesed? Or, after all, I saw, you know, my Rebbe, my parents, throw a coin into a cup. So that's good, throw the coin into the cup. Or do I say, that's holy, but I'm looking for Kedoshim Tihiyu. I want my vantage point of Kedusha to be an infinite vantage point. That I ask myself, so yesterday I threw the coin into the cup. I'm just giving you a random example. Yesterday I threw the coin into the cup. But today I'm going to throw the coin into the cup and I'm going to wait there an extra second and I'm going to ask the person, you know, everything's okay. You know, you've been sitting here for a long time. You're cold. Can I get you a cup of tea or something? Yesterday I davened this way because this is the way that I was raised davening. But tomorrow is my barometer for Kedusha going to be set higher because, okay, so I reached what I aimed for myself last time, but my sense of Kedusha is formed by an infinite Kedusha. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani. And that's dafka, exactly the point. What the Aruch Chaim was saying is exactly the point. That feeling of, do we dare try to imitate Hashem? Is that really a fair comparison? I'll be holy because you're holy, Hashem. The point is that Hashem is saying it's a never-ending journey towards Kedusha. Because when you're mimicking Hashem, instead of mimicking other people, even role models, so then you're never satisfied. In a holy way. Not never satisfied in a depressing way. You're never satisfied because as proud as you are of your accomplishments until now, you know that there's something further. You know that you're only wearing a mask of yourself, and that there's something beyond that you could aim for. So Hashem should help us to steer clear of the negative aspects of the uskuf, that our feet should not descend into the realm of Ragleha Yardos Maves, and that we should be zoche to, yes, copy the godly aspects of our teachers, and yes, to copy the holy aspects of ourselves, but to not be satisfied. The mimicking of the kuf, being a kof, being a monkey in front of Hashem, means never being satisfied with where I am now, because my, as we keep saying, as my vantage point of Kedusha is something which is much higher. We should be zocha.
Can you just say again what the Radvaz said?
Yeah. The Radvaz, David Ben Zimra, in the Sefer Magi and David, so he just he said a lot of things, much of which I did not understand. But he said that the letter Kuf is comprised in several different ways of names of Hashem. Meaning, on the one hand, the Kuf is the leg which is descending down into the ground, but at the same time, the Kuf is also Hashem descending into this world and allowing us to copy Him. So, in a certain sense, there's a holy aspect to the letter Kuf as well. So he says that the word Kuf, when spelled out, Kuf Vav Peh, that's how you spell the Os Kuf. So Kuf Vav Peh is the gematria of the word Makom. Right? 186 is Makom. It's Kuf. Then the actual form of the letter Kuf, which you can kind of look at on the first page, although you can understand why other tzaddikim say that it's more of a resh than a chaf. But the Radvaz argues that, and again, he was the Rebbe of the Arizal, so the Radvaz argues that the Kuf is actually made up of a Chaf and a Vav, like many of the letters of the Aleph Beis. It's made up of a Chaf and a Vav, which is 26, which is Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke. And the inner letters of Kuf, just the Vav and the Peh, is like the, what the inside of Kuf represents, is Vav and Peh, which is the Shem Elokim, which is another name of Hashem. So for his purposes, he's talking about very deep things that, you know, people like ourselves, at least not during the week, we shouldn't be talking about it. Maybe on Shabbos, Friday night, after some Zmiras or something, maybe we could try to understand it. But during the week, I don't think we can understand on his level. But on our level, what we're saying is that all of these references to Hashem that are bound in the Os Kuf is to remind us that ultimately the goal is to be Kuf b'fnei Hashchina. Make sense? Okay. Shkach.